In this life, we're very easily shaped by the circumstances we find ourselves. We're shaped by our circumstances and also shaped by the demands within our own life. Last night, I flew in from into O'Hare from Alabama, and I missed my connecting flight, so I had to get a hotel last night. Of course, I don't have my bags with me, and so you go in your hotel room and go to bed, wake up early the next morning, try to catch a flight in order to get back out here in order to preach. I land in Fort Wayne, and I fly with the angels and archangels and pass them up in order to get out here to preach. When I arrive, I get a phone call from my vacancy church that I serve every weekend in Valparaiso. And there was a crisis or situation that happened with one of my young members last night. But things continue to go on, and there are many demands in your own life and people who demand your own attention and so on. This happens in our life. I recall I am going on my sixth year here at the seminary, and the number of married men who come into my office and ask me, you know, how do you balance your studies and also being married and having a family? How do you balance all the demands that you have here at the seminary and also keeping some sense of attention on your wife and your children? And he says, and the student will say, I have all this homework tonight I have to do. I have to prepare for this do this paper and do this test. And I told him, I says, don't do your homework. Don't study. And he looks at me, but he says, I have to. And I says, don't. And he looked at me again, and trying to figure out what I am saying. And he says, why do you want to do your homework? I mean, why is it that you study? And why do you want to spend time with your family? In other words, we can be so taken up with things that are demanding of our time, we forget why we do them. And we forget about seeing the broader and the bigger picture of this life that we've been given to us in Christ. Yes, do your studies, do your homework, prepare for the exams, but pay attention to your beautiful wife and your children as well. But don't let the demands be so defining in your life, but let the life in which we have received in Christ be so defining as we rise in the morning and before we go to bed. For if we're always following demands within our own life, and that's what shapes our life, soon it will become very deceptive of the things which we do. We may look at trying to prepare for the test, but forget what this is all about. We forget to look into the eyes of our wives and our children when we go home and to understand what this is all about. The broader picture must always be kept in mind within the life which Christ has graciously given to us. In Exodus 18, we hear of Moses, and Moses is being a good pastor. He spent a lot of time with his congregation, and the people are coming to him with all sorts of questions from the morning until night. And then the in-laws come. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, come with him with his wife and his sons. That's Jethro's wife and sons. You can imagine how this is if you have a number of exams or papers you have to get done, and all of a sudden the in-laws come to the house. Or for you single folk, you know, the family, your mom and dad and family come in and stay at the hotel. And the demands of your own time with the demands of the time that you need to study as well as the time that you need to spend with your family, your in-laws. Moses was a good pastor, as I said. He first goes and greets his father-in-law and bows down or kneels down before him and kisses him and greets him. But he tells Jethro immediately about the story of redemption that the people have received from the bondage of Egypt, from the one true God. Jethro, after hearing this, rejoiced in this message, rejoiced in this narrative of deliverance, and denounced all false gods for the true God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, but taken up with his demands, felt an obligation to keep going and working here on this people. Jethro, of course, the in-laws sometimes have good advice, and Jethro had said, now listen, why don't you place people over your congregation, all your people, like chiefs, as one translation puts it, over certain parts of the people, and let them hear the small questions, and you take care of the big questions. In other words, as the body of Christ, of the hand and the foot, etc., that we take advantage of the life of the body of Christ Jesus, that is, and the other roles and vocations of the other people. But this is something that Moses needed to hear, for Moses had to keep the broader notion of what life is all about in mind, not only of his own vocation, as Pless loves to call it, your own vocation and your service as a pastor, as a student, but also as a family man, that we may never forget what this is all about. Jethro said that they should be able to do their job, that these people you place over, but also that they don't fall into taking bribes. For it is very easy to compromise also with this, and when you work with people. In the parish, many people want to take advantage in many cases and will begin to bribe you, invite you over to eat and things. But we must always remain to the integrity of the life in which we have given. A life given by the gospel, namely in Christ Jesus. That is that of the forgiveness of sins. That each and every day as we go to, or at night when we go to bed and rise in the morning, we arise anew. The day which is committed to that of the life that Christ has given to us in his death and his resurrection. That we may never forget about this most gracious life. In the name of Jesus, amen.